and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. You may be seated. It really is one of my favorite passages from Scripture, this seemingly innocuous invitation that Jesus has to breakfast. The one specific meal, I mean, he talks about the supper as in the Last Supper, the Passover meal, but this is an interesting encounter that Jesus has with his disciples. Come and have breakfast. The most important meal of the day, right? That's what they, I think they still say that. It was at least for a while there, was the most important meal of the day. It certainly does get you started in the morning. And for Jesus, this breakfast invitation is about, of course, more than breakfast, right? It's about more than the fish and the bread, and more than just making sure that his disciples have morning sustenance. Because the fishermen, and it lists them, it's really interesting that John lists Peter, Thomas, James, John, Nathaniel, and two other disciples, it says, went fishing. Thomas is not always known as a fisherman. He was the doubting disciple that we talked about last week, or the unbelieving disciple. But this is the first time he's mentioned as one of the fishermen. And again, it's interesting to include him. But they'd kind of given up. It wasn't that they were just going fishing for the fun of it. They weren't going out on the stream with a fly rod and trying to catch trout or something. They were ready to go back into business. Jesus had risen, had shown them that he was there, had appeared to them twice behind the locked doors. But it seems at this point the apostles had pretty much thought that that was it. I'm going fishing, Peter says. I'm tired of all of this other stuff. I don't know what to expect next. Jesus isn't here. I'm going fishing. And so all of the other disciples that are there say, we'll go too. Matthew doesn't, because he's a tax collector, not a fisherman. He wouldn't be very handy at that except for counting the fish when they came into shore. But they go fishing. They get the boat. They go out on the lake. They have the net. It's as though they're getting ready to go back into business, start the old life over again. This new life was interesting. It was a good run, but now Jesus is gone, and we'll just get back to doing what we know best. We'll go back fishing. The old life called to them. Be comfortable. Be familiar. Don't worry about all of that other stuff. Just go fishing. And so that's what the disciples do. They go fishing. But Jesus, as he always does, changes this fishing trip. In fact, we could almost look at it as a bookends. Because where was it the first time that Jesus showed up to the disciples who were fishing? On the seashore. What had they done all night and had come up empty? They had fished and fished and had come up empty. And what does Jesus tell them on that first encounter on the seashore? He tells them, throw the net on the other side of the boat, or on the right side of the boat. And they catch a ton of fish. This was the first time. This was way back, years before. And here he is again, showing up on the seashore, asking them if they caught anything, telling them to fish on the other side of the boat. All of these things. It's the perfect bookends for the disciples. It's not a coincidence that this happened this way. This is the way it was supposed to happen. And what happens when the disciples throw the net on the other side of the boat? This time, they come up with more fish than they can carry. 153 of them. So maybe Matthew was there to count them. They got a pretty exact number. 153 fish. Jesus shows up at this point in the apostles' lives and their decision to go back fishing, and it's as if he's saying to them, do you really want to go back to that? Do you really want to go back to the old life? To the way it was before? That old life of yours, you went back to it and your nets came up empty again. And they'd continue to come up empty. There's nothing there for you anymore. You can't go back to the old life. And why would you want to? It's like asking somebody who's had a knee replaced, if we could put the old one back in, would you want that? Yeesh. Unless it was a really bad experience, maybe. But not usually. You can't go back to the old life. And again, why would you want to? And that old life calls and beckons so nicely sometimes, especially on Sunday mornings, when you think, oh, I could sleep in. Remember back in the day when I could sleep in on Sundays and not have to go to church? Those were good days. Not really. That old life calls. It says there are times when following Jesus is so hard and so challenging and doesn't make a lot of sense, and he doesn't always seem to be there, so why bother? Just go back to the day when you didn't really believe at all. It was so much easier then. It was so much nicer then. You had less arguments, less strain, less stress. Hindsight's 20/20. Wasn't really that stress-free. Rose-colored glasses, we could use any phrase you have about looking back to the past and seeing it as days that were so much nicer than the days we have now. But that's not really true. But the old life calls. It beckons. It entices. And the disciples got caught in it. They went back to fishing, to what they knew best, what was most comfortable, what was most familiar, and they came up empty. Jesus shows up to them as if to remind them, remember that first time I called you? Remember that first time I met you on the seashore? Remember when your nets came up empty and then they were full? Remember when I said you were going to be fishers of men? You can't go back to being fishers of fish. Because you're different. You're changed. The old life won't fit you anymore. It won't be productive anymore. You can't go back. And while that may be scary for some of us, the idea that we can't go back to that old life, there's a hope that Jesus brings to his disciples and he brings to us. The fact that he showed up that first time on the seashore and this third time he appears to them, again, the number is not inconsequential. This is the third appearance of Jesus. The number three always plays into it. What was the day that he rose? The third day. The third day he shows up again to the disciples, not to just show them who he is, but to restore them and put them back on the right path. He shows up again. And he asks them, what has that old life done for you? Have you caught any fish? No, we haven't caught any fish. Well, put the net over the other side. And after you see what happens there, come and have breakfast. Come. Sit for a minute. Enjoy the meal that I've prepared for you. Fish and bread. Familiar, common, and yet for the disciples, a reminder. A reminder of that time they sat on the hillside with the 4,000 or the 5,000, and Jesus fed with fish and bread. Here again, he feeds with fish and bread. Just another reminder to the disciples, you can't go back to the old way. The new way with me, with Jesus, is the only way to go. You have to go forward. And while I may not always walk with you physically here, hand in hand, I am always there, he says. The meal's prepared. Come and eat. Come and have breakfast. Leave that old life behind. And in the next conversation that he has with Peter, which our gospel reading didn't get to today, but will, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So this third appearance for the disciples is not just a casual encounter. This is the time. This is the time for them to move forward, to take all that they had learned from Jesus, all that they had seen him do, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he had breathed on them behind those closed doors, and go. Go and be fishers of men. Go and be feeders of sheep. Go and be the caretakers and the fishers that I've given you to be. And the words are not much different for us. Come and have breakfast. And if you haven't eaten today, this is breakfast. And I'm sure for some, we tend to rush out of the house and not always grab a good breakfast. Guilty as charged. Not the best breakfast eater. And yet Jesus still provides. This morning he provides for you. Not fish and bread, but body and blood. He says to you, come. Come and eat. Come and receive. Come and take what I've given for you, my body. Come and drink what I've shed for you, my blood. It's for you. Not so that you can take it and run back to the old ways, behind locked doors, out in the fishing boat, but so that you can go from here and be fishers. You can go from here and be feeders of sheep. Take care of those he has given you to take care of. Fish for those who he's given you to fish for. Cast the net. See what happens. That's Jesus. His concern for you every single day, every moment of every day. And today he gives you himself. So come. Come and have, we'll call it breakfast. Come and have the meal that's been prepared for you. Amen. And now may the peace that it is ours in Christ rule in our hearts and in our minds, keeping us always steadfast in that one true faith. Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise as you are able for the prayers of the church.